All right. Well, folks, before we get started here, let me just share this. You know, it's interesting. I want to share this story. Jennifer, you got to tell Jeff this. Jeff was very upset today, very upset. And I told him, you cannot be upset. This is what happens. These are things that happen. But I told Jeff when he was on the phone and he was upset, I said, Jeff, this is going to be TMI, I think. Again, this is too much information. But I said, you know, many years ago, I had gotten sick. And I remember waking up and I was just about 15 minutes from leaving and I got hit with a horrible stomach virus. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to make it to the church. And so anyway, long story short, I didn't remember what the date was. I just remember that it happened. So I told Cam in the midst of this morning when Jeff called and said, Chad, I can't, I said, I get it. I said, Cam, go to the archives. So she goes down to the archives. We keep all of our sermons. She goes to the archives. I said, grab one from 2012. Got to be one down there from 2012. True story. Literally open the box. I see a card sitting in there. Open the card up, and it says stomach virus. The day that you missed, January or whatever it was, January 2012. God is at work. God is at work. So I am not worried about this. I told Jeff, don't worry about this. Get well. We will do this. And let's face it, folks, we are here for him, not for us, right? We are here for him. All right. With that said, let's get started and see where this thing goes. A big city California lawyer went duck hunting in rural Texas. He shot and dropped a bird, but it fell into a farmer's field on the other side of a fence. As he climbed over the fence, an elderly farmer drove up on his tractor and asked him what he was doing. The litigator responded, well, I shot a duck and it fell into this field and now I'm going to retrieve it. The old farmer said, this is my property and you're not coming over here. The lawyer said, I'm one of the best trial attorneys in the U.S. and if you don't let me get that duck, I'll sue you and take everything that you own. The old farmer smiled and said, well, apparently you don't know how we do things down here in Texas. We settle small disagreements like this with the Texas three-kick rule. Lawyer asked, what's a Texas three-kick rule? Farmer replied, well, first I kick you three times, and then you kick me three times, and so on back and forth until someone surrenders. The attorney quickly thought about the proposed contest and decided that he could easily take this old codger, so he agreed to abide by the local Texas custom. The old farmer slowly climbed down from his tractor and walked up to the city feller. His first kick planted the toe of his heavy work boot right into the lawyer's groin and dropped him to his knees. His second kick nearly wiped the man's nose off his face. The attorney lay flat on his belly when the farmer's third kick to a kidney nearly caused him to give up. Lawyer summoned every bit of his will and managed to get to his feet, and he says, okay, you old coot, now it's my turn. Old farmer smiled and said, nah, I give up. You can have the duck. I do not advocate the use of the Texas three-kick rule. That's why we're in Illinois, folks. That's why we're in Illinois. All right. Okay, so it is interesting to note that the old farmer did give up. But how many of us feel like doing the same thing? Because in reality, things like today, Jeff and I and Velma and everybody else going through their maladies, sharing, we all probably feel like giving up. And many of us today would likely say we don't feel strong enough. We don't feel faithful enough. And so we just feel like we're going to give up. You know, our circumstances have a way of doing this to us. And so today, we have to look for strength and faith in other places. We are not supposed to surrender, or so says the society that we live in. You know, 80s action star Arnold Schwarzenegger once said this, when you go through hardships and decide not to surrender, that is strength. Jean-Claude Van Damme, in 1986, made a movie that shared similar sentiments called No Retreat, No Surrender. Former President Ronald Reagan, who led this great nation during the 80s, once said this, peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will not surrender for it now or ever. Corey Hart, who coincidentally wore his sunglasses at night, all of you 80s fans, followed that hit single with another 80s hit Billboard chart topper called Never Surrender. And then lastly, for all of you big movie fans, if you love Rocky and I do, lastly on the big screen, we're taken back to 1985 where we see a Rocky, and it's Rocky IV, and it's Drago versus Rocky, and it's the big Russian, and Apollo Creed comes in, and Apollo is fighting Drago. And Apollo tells Rocky, he says, do not, whatever you do, do not throw in the white towel. Don't do it, because that would mean that he would surrender. And Rocky is standing there in the corner of the ring, not knowing what to do. I know it's only a movie, folks, but I start to tear up every time I talk about it. And Drago drops Apollo and kills him in the ring. It was a sad day for all Rocky fans. The point is this, folks. We have a tendency to not want to surrender. We have a tendency to say, I don't want to wave the white flag. So whether it's the white towel or the white flag, surrender is oftentimes viewed as the worst option when we are asked or forced to face and overcome those life obstacles. But what if it was the best option available to agonizing man? Psalm 37:7, one of our memory verses, says, surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. So the question is, does God really want us to wave our proverbial white flag? And if so, what or whom are we surrendering to? I want to look at our sermon text for today. Look how good John is. He got it on the screen. That was the 11th hour. Well done, John. We're going to follow Romans 6, 12 through 14. Here's what that passage says. Paul says, do not let sin control your puny body any longer. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning, but give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from death and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. Sin need never again be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and mercy. We read this passage and we think about what it means. And today we're reminded of what God can do when we're willing to give up everything to God. G.H.C. McGregor once said this, the key to victory over sin and evil is unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus. Surrender, says McGregor, marks a crisis in a man's life. When I thus surrender, says McGregor, I yield myself, spirit, soul, and body utterly to God. I lie like an offering on the altar to burn up the evil and make me clean. After such an experience, says McGregor, man is never the same as before, end quote. No wonder James says in James 4, verse 7, he says, give yourselves humbly to God. Folks, that's called giving up. It's called giving in. It's called giving yourselves totally to him. Before capturing Jericho, Joshua was face to face with the commander-in-chief of the Lord's army. Some would call it a theophany, if you will, of Christ himself. And here's what's interesting. It was there that Joshua surrendered himself to the sovereign God. And as Joshua 5 and 6 attest, it was this surrender that made Joshua a full and total victor. Strangely, this victory pales in comparison to the victory over sin and death that Jesus secured when he surrendered to the plan and will of his Father. He said in John 10:10-11, he says, my purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This laying down of life meant being hung up on a cross. And it was that surrender that led us to our salvation. The question is, are we willing to give in and hoist our white flags and surrender to our Savior? Jesus says in Mark 8, 34 and 38, he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your own pleasures and shoulder your cross and follow me closely. If you insist on saving your own life, you'll lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. How does a man benefit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? For is anything worth more than his soul? And anyone who is ashamed of me and my message in these days of unbelief and sin, I, the Messiah, will be ashamed of him when I return in the glory of my Father with the holy angels. That's surrender. Let me give an example of something that happened this week. We were at the McLean County Senior Expo, and among 1,200 people that funneled in and out of that building, there was a lady who came up to me. I recognized her. I knew her. I just couldn't remember how. There was a lot of situations like that on that day. And she came up, she said, Pastor, how are you? And I said, okay, good. We've narrowed it down. We know this is a church thing. She said, hey, I just want you to know how intrigued I am by your church. And I said, well, I never hear that, intrigued by my church. I said, tell me more. She said, you know, I visited, and she said, I can tell you that I have never, ever been in a church that's more alive, and I've been in a lot of churches. And I said, explain alive. And she said, everybody there seems to be filled with the Spirit. And I said, you know, I said, there could be no greater compliment that a pastor could ever receive than to hear that a church is filled with the Spirit. Now, to be filled with the Spirit, we have to yield to the Spirit. And if we're going to yield to the Spirit, that means that we are surrendered to Jesus Christ, who indwells us and fills us with that Holy Spirit. You know, this is an amazing thing that happens, folks, when we can come into this church and say, I surrender. I give it up and I look up because I believe that God has His best interest for me in mine. You know, Mary surrendered to God in Luke 1:38. Paul surrendered to God in Philippians 3, verse 10. David surrendered to God. Don't forget Psalm 51. That was such a difficult passage for him because this is obviously after he committed adultery. Psalm 51, one of the most wonderful and heartfelt prayers of forgiveness anybody's ever uttered. That was an interesting passage. But what about us? What about us? Look at verses 13 and 14. He says this, do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning, but give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you're back from death, and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for His good purposes. Sin need never again be your master, for now you're no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you. You're free under God's favor and mercy. Do we have any idea what it means to fully surrender to God? Folks, every single little sin that we cling to and that we love has got to be given up. Every single thing that we say, you know what, God won't mind if I do this because I'm doing all of these other things, has got to be given up. Everything. And so when we wave our white flag, we're essentially rolling ourselves in that white flag and saying this, God, I give you everything in my life. You can have it all. I don't want it anymore because I believe that you have your best interest in mind for me. Are we willing to do this? Because folks, when we say yes, this surrender is difficult for all of us. It's giving up the things of our past. It's looking at them and saying, I don't want to be them anymore. I don't want them anymore. This is difficult. We've always understood that when we surrender, we're enslaved, right? That's kind of a history lesson for all of us. For those who surrendered in past wars and conflicts, those were the ones that would fall victim to the tyranny of the leaders. But Paul makes it very clear that when we surrender ourselves to God, we're not necessarily enslaved, we are saved. You see, and so if we're saved, now we're enslaved to Jesus Christ, not enslaved to the world any longer. Now we are fully submitted and yielded to our Lord and Savior. In essence, we say this, Jesus, make me like you. Too often we are willing to surrender our circumstances of surrendering to our Savior. So what are these circumstances? You ever think about it? What are the circumstances that enslave us? What are the circumstances that actually own us? How many of these things have we said, God, I'll give you some of these, but I'm not going to give you all of these. Things like anger and pain and loss and lust and greed. And we say something like this. It's like, it's not I give up, but rather we have to say something like this. We have to say, I give it up. Ever think about that? That we so often say, I give up. And there are a lot of people today, not only in this church, but in churches everywhere. And I know I've probably uttered these words in 2017 and said, I give up. And God says, no. Chad, just don't give up. Just give it up. Just give it up. And look up and let me do what I do best. Are we willing to do it? E. Stanley Jones once said this, if you don't surrender to Christ, you surrender to chaos. More times than not, if we surrender to chaos, we will then surrender to sin. We will likely give in to sin. We can't do this. Conversely, if we surrender to our Savior, that means that we are crucified with our Savior. Galatians 2:20 says this. And we are controlled by our Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:13 and 14. When this happens, chaos is replaced with rest, and those sins and burdens that we once knew have left. Matthew 11:27-30. This has been a stressful week for my wife and I, my poor wife. I can't imagine the burdens that she carries in helping me with both of the jobs that I have. Been a very, very traumatic week for us. And yet, as this all wound down and we were on the cusp of crawling out of bed at 3:45 in the morning, Wednesday morning, And she looked at me and she said, "How you feeling?" I said, "I've never felt better." And I said, I looked at her and I said, "Isn't that weird?" And I said, "Honey, every day we're drawing closer to Christ. We are not finished products, but we are surrendering more and more of ourselves to Christ." Folks, we will not be finished products, but every day we have to give up more and more of ourselves to Jesus Christ. So for this to happen, we have to wave the white flag. We have to surrender all of ourselves to our Savior. And now here's how that happens. First, we have to surrender our wisdom. We have to surrender our personal wisdom. We can't think that we know everything, but we have to trust that God does. This is important. He has a plan. We have to surrender to it. When Jeff called me this morning and I felt so bad for him, he's my friend and my brother, and he was very upset and he was in tears, as I could tell. And as I told him, I said, "Jeff, it's all good. It's all good. It'll work out." And what does God do? You reach in, you pull out a card, like, there it is. There's the reminder. You see, when we fully surrender, our eyes are open to the very things that God can do for us and through us. But we got to give up our wisdom and we got to trust in His. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:25, he said, "This so-called foolish plan of God is far wiser than the wisest plan of the wisest man. And God in His weakness, Christ dying on the cross, is far stronger than any man." Unsaved man, regarding his problems and obstacles, says this. He says, "I'll figure it out." Saved man trusts in God to help him out. And God, in His infinite wisdom, will then work it out. Are you willing to let Him? Are you willing to say, "God, I'm going to trust in Your word, not the wisdom of the world"? You know, it's interesting when we look at this next thing that we have to surrender, because this is a tough one for us. We have to surrender our weakness. Now, here's a great thing about all this. We're all swimming in the same sea. We're all sinners. We're all mistake makers. We're all misfits. We all make blunders. We know that. So that means that we all have weakness, which means, folks, that we need Jesus. And if you look up and if you say, "Man, that pastor's got it figured out." No, I don't. No, I have not got it figured out. I just know to let God work it out. This is key. And so for all of us, folks, we're steeped in weakness. And for anybody to come up and say we're not, they don't know us. We have weakness. But if we can admit that we don't know it all, then God in His power can show us all. He will reveal to us our weakness that is causing us this sin and distress. It happens every time. Romans 12:9, God told Paul, "I am with you. I am with you. That's all you need." Paul said, "Now I am glad to boast about how weak I am. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing my own power and abilities." It's hard to surrender this, especially for men. Men, we think we are so strong. I was on a stage Wednesday. The Bloomington Area Homeschool Choir for Children was performing. I shared this story, and a lady came up, and she was at the expo, and she said, "Chad, I need you." And I'm thinking, uh-oh. There was one exit off that stage, and I had to walk right in front of the choir that was performing so wonderfully. And I thought, no problem. I'll just jump off this four-foot stage. I've done it before. And I'm looking down, I'm thinking, looks a lot farther now. I had dress shoes on. That's never good. But I thought, I can do this. I can do this. I'm powerful. And I jumped down, and I remember thinking, that went well. I hit the landing. And I remember this sharp pain shooting up my right leg, right through my ankle. And I thought, I can deal with this. And then on Thursday, I couldn't walk. And I realized that even in that moment where we think we're powerful, there is weakness. There's still weakness. You know, Rocky chose not to surrender, and it cost Apollo his life. You know, if we choose not to surrender, it will cost us eternal life. You see, many people today, and especially many in the churches, and there are pastors that are guilty of this as well, will give God what's called partial surrender. They wave a beige flag. They don't put up the white flag. They say, "God, I'm gonna wave this flag because I'm going to give you some of what I have, but not all of what I have." We have to give Him our weakness, and in turn, He gives us His strength. Next, you got to give Him your will. Gotta give him your will. Let Jesus be your example. Facing his biggest obstacle, his pending crucifixion, he prayed to God in Luke 22, 42. He says, Father, he says, if you are willing, please take this cup of horror from me. Here it comes. But I want your will, not mine. Jesus, our Savior, the Son of our Heavenly Father, says, I want your will, not mine. Can we actually say anything different? And so often we say this, God, I'll give you some of it, but not all of it, because I still want my will, not yours. Are we willing to surrender our will? We may not like God's will. Frankly, we may not even understand God's will, but we must allow his will to be done. Folks, we call this letting go and letting God. Letting go and letting God. If someone comes up and says, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you battle this illness. I don't know how you deal with your weakness. I don't know how you deal with your family situation, your financial situation, your work situation. I don't know how you make this. And you know, there's a really great line, and I can tell you that it works every time, and that is just tell them, just say, you know what? I realized a long time ago, I had to let go and let God. It's a good thing to say. Back it up with scripture. People will be curious. They'll want to hear it. Letting go and letting God. If we're willing to surrender our wisdom, our weakness, and our will, then lastly, we must be willing to surrender our watch. Not this watch, but our watch. We must allow God to work in his time. Got to allow him to work in his time. So what we do is we give him our watch, and then we watch him work in his time. I really wish my back felt better, and I wish that Jeff were healthy, and I wish that Velma didn't have a sinus infection. I wish Sharon didn't have a sling in her arm. And I wish that all of you people that are going through your sickness and weakness and your debilitating disease and your family situations, your financial situations, whatever they are, I wish you didn't have them. I really do. I wish that this were the perfect world where all of us could say we feel great, we're in love, and all is fine. And I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. It will work out according to God's will in his time. That's God's watch. We have to give it to him. Psalm 31, 14 and 15 says this, I am trusting you, O Lord. You alone are my God. Listen to this. You alone are my God. My times are in your hands. Clinging to our wisdom and our weakness and our will doesn't usually inspire us to wait. My daughter, last night, we were filling out birthday cards. My mom and brother's birthdays were last week, and so everybody's coming up today to celebrate. And so we always do some special things with our cards. We always decorate them and put funny things in there. And my daughter said, Daddy, about done? And I said, no, I'm not about done. So she comes in and says, Daddy, about done? This is my oldest daughter, Jillian. And she said, Daddy, about done? I said, frankly, Jillian, not only am I not about done, but I'm tired of you asking me if I'm about done. And Jada said, Dad, she's the most impatient person I know. And I said, yeah, and we need God to fix that. I said, it's not an endearing quality, Jillian. So let's work on that. You know, it was really quiet in the house after that. Didn't hear her say anything after that. We got to let go. We got to let God. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31 says this. And you've heard this passage before. O Jacob, O Israel, how can you say that the Lord doesn't see your troubles and isn't being fair? Don't you yet understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary? No one can fathom the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the tired and worn out and strength to the weak. Even the youths shall be exhausted, and the young men will all give up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Man, that's a powerful passage. You've been in office complexes. You've been in different places. You're going to see plaques on the wall, pictures of an eagle flying. You're going to see that passage. There's a reason. That passage is an encourager for those who love our Lord and Savior. Our time is in his hands. We have to be able to give it up to get up. Folks, when we choose to wave the white flags in our lives, it has nothing to do with quitting. Rather, it has everything to do with submitting. This is not easy. Society tells us to never surrender. Like Corey Hart said, I love that song in the 80s, never surrender. That was the same guy that did Sunglasses at Night. We're called to never surrender. But we do because we know who and what we are surrendering to. Folks, every day we should carry our white flag with us. Every day we look to God and we say, God, I don't give up. I'm just going to give it up. And when we wave that white flag, we say this. We say, God, I'll look up and I'll trust in you to help me and that you will. And I know this, God, I know you'll lift me up. William Booth once said this. He says, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Are you willing to surrender your wisdom and your weakness and your will and your watch to him? You see, it's only when the white flag is waved that we truly and can actually be saved. I want to share this final story as a conclusion to our sermon. And folks, this to me is fascinating. A lifeguard was on duty when he noticed a gentleman was in trouble. He dove into the water and swam out to the struggling man, stopping about 3 feet from him. From this short distance, the lifeguard realized that the victim was a large fellow. Not wanting to be taken under, the lifeguard considered its dilemma. Not only was his ward sizable, but he was also trying to save himself. He was afraid, he was swinging, he was panicking, he was in trouble. In an effort to save himself, the man was swinging wildly against the water and was draining his energy quickly. The lifeguard continued to tread water at a short distance, not because he didn't care, but rather because he was waiting on the man to stop trying to save himself. He knew that he would be unable to save the drowning man as long as he was using his own methods, insisting on his own strength and relying on his own ability. His cry for help contradicted his efforts to save himself. His approach was hindering the lifeguard's planned approach. So finally, the man's energy left, and he had no more fight. When he stopped beating the water, stopped leaning on his own understanding, and stopped using his own methods, the lifeguard worked his way around and took over and saved the man and brought him back, reached over his shoulder, cupped his chin under his hand, and put an elbow in the middle of his shoulder blade. This, folks, allowed the man's body to come closer to the surface of the water and rest on the hip of the lifeguard as he side-stroked him to the edge of the pool. Even though the man was large, the rescue was possible because he was resting in the strength of his Savior. Once the man was calm, he thanked the lifeguard. He gave the lifeguard complete credit because he realized that his own resources could not have gotten him out of the mess that he had actually found himself in. Don't we do the same thing? You see, if you feel like you're drowning today, if you feel like you're struggling today, if you feel like you're fighting life today, and you say this, I can figure this out, God. I can get through this. I can beat this today. Here's what I'm going to say. We can't save ourselves. We have no ability to save ourselves. Today we have to do this. Today we have to hoist our white flag. Today we say, I will surrender to my Savior. Today we will say, I will let go and I will let God. And when this happens, folks, you will experience peace like you've never known. Today I ask, as we go to our Lord's, to our pastoral prayer, I just ask that we will be willing to fully submit our will to our Savior. We're a church on fire, says a lady that sees me at the McLean County Senior Expo. A church on fire is a church that is filled and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's a church that says, I'm going to submit, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ because I can't do anything else but that. That's what we're called to do today. Folks, if you have prayer requests, Jennifer, we're going to pray for your wonderful husband that we love so much. We're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for Velma. We're going to pray for Sharon, you great lady. I am so sorry I see you in that sling and it kills me. And for every other person that is struggling, many of you, I know your situations. Others, maybe you've not revealed them to me. You know my situation. I'm praying for my healing and I'm praying for everybody else's healing. For many of you, I've been in the hospital rooms. I have seen you in your worst moments and I can tell you that today you're here because God did something about it, because you waved the white flag and you said, I surrender. Man, I want to surrender, folks. I want this church fully, fully surrendered. And so if you have any special prayer requests, get them to us. We have seen some amazing, amazing answered prayers. My friend Pete Cates is at the Great Banquet right now, and I'm sure that his life is being changed as we sit here. We're going to pray for him as well, and then for everybody that's been affected and is currently being affected by this hurricane. This is tragic, and it is major, and I'm going to tell you, these people are going to need God's strength and help. Let it start right here in the church for us to be so concerned about our fellow man that we'll lift them up at this time. White slips, give them to us after the service. In the meantime, folks, if you want to come to the altar, feel free to join us now. Our Heavenly Father, it is not easy to wave that white flag. It is not easy to say, I surrender, especially when it comes to our Lord and Savior. But today we're called to do it. Any sin that's in our lives, anything that's preventing us from being like you, I pray that we will give it up. And I pray that we will not give up. This is what we ask from you. Today we know what you can do for us and through us. We have seen amazing, miraculous stories of lives being turned around and changed because those individuals, and we, these individuals, have said, we're not giving up, rather we're giving it up. Today I pray that you would help us to yield fully ourselves to you. I want us to be the sacrifice. I want us to be the offering, and I want us to be changed by you. I pray that you will make this Covell Community Church a church of disciples, rooted firmly in your word, knowing what it says and what it means, being able not only to learn it, but to teach it and to share it. And I pray today that when people see us, they'll see Jesus. Today, I pray that you would help us, and help us to be willing to do this. For those who are hurting today, there are tears, there's agony, there's pain, there's struggles, there's suffering. I pray today that you will send your Holy Spirit, the promised comforter that we lean on and need. I pray that you will not only comfort our hearts, but I pray that you'll change our hearts. We know what repentance is. It's a change of heart and mind towards sin. And I pray that you will do this for us from within and through the Holy Spirit's power. Bless us, I pray today, and help us. With every single person that's dealing with this, we've got names on our bulletin today that we're reminded of that are struggling, just struggling. Help them and be with them. For those who are weathering these terrible storms, and certainly with the hurricane that's coming, I pray that you would watch over them. I pray that you'll protect them. I pray that your divine hand would be laid upon them. So when this storm subsides, and it will, that these people will testify about your greatness. And I pray today that you will heal and help every single person that's calling out for help today. For those whose hearts are singed and convicted, for those whose hearts are saying, I want to keep some of my sin. I don't want to give up all of my sin. Father, I pray today that you will help them to see that we have to have all of our sin removed and forgiven. And I ask it according to your will. Bless us now as we conclude this worship service dedicated to you. And I pray that we will be fully yielded and submitted to you. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray today. Amen. I will admit, I was looking so forward, Joanne, to sitting in that back row next to you and letting this back just heal. And you know what? God does some amazing things, does he not? And Jennifer, Jeff's up next. Healing for that good man. Tell him we got to have him back here Wednesday, so we'll be praying for him. To every single person that's out there and struggling, man, oh man, oh man, your ministry is going to be so powerful. It's going to be so powerful. Let him work through you. You know, it's great when we can come into this church and we grow from each other. That's awesome. That's powerful. That's what our Lord and Savior does for us. But I ask that you'll take this, take your problems, your weaknesses, your lack of faith at times, your willingness to give up, take it outside of these doors and tell everyone that you didn't give up. Rather, you gave it up and you allowed God to do some amazing things through you. Folks, that's how this kingdom grows. We are weak. But through God Almighty, we can be strong. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is amazing what you've done with all of us, this crazy cast of characters. And I pray today that we would harbor no sin. I pray that we'll want to get rid of it. Whatever it is, you know what's in me and you know what's in them. And I pray that you'll remove it. I pray that we will long to be Christ-like disciples who live by your word. And I pray today that you would help us to trust in your word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will comfort us and convict us and move us to a place of repentance. We ask this according to your will. Go with us, keep us safe, I pray, and help us to impact our communities each and every day as we say, let them see Jesus in us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.